Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie. Text Ryan now.
51552.
Tubridy on 2FM.
Ryan says a text. I totally agree. Dubai, Dushmai. What? Shmubai, I think, would have been. Yeah, all right. Well, let's not fall out over that, shall we? Boring is all I say. No desire to go there whatsoever. Yeah, well, that's where I'm going with that. But Melanie may differ. Melanie, good morning to you.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm all right then, but I'm not sure whether I'm right or wrong on this. So can you help me?
I can help you.
What have you got for me?
I have traveled to only three of the Emirates, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Sharjah. There are seven. I know Sharjah is dry, as in you can't buy liquor or alcohol, and they are much more traditional. The women in that Emirate still wear the black abaya.
Yeah.
Well, Dubai and Abu Dhabi are much more westernized.
Yeah.
They you can walk around in Western clothing and stuff. Women still have to dress conservatively, and while they prefer men don't wear shorts, you can get away with it.
Yeah, but it's not particularly loved by one and all.
No, it's definitely not particularly loved by one and all. No.
You always hear these stories, Melanie, of things like public displays of affection. And I'm not talking about the harder core end of things, but even as much as a smooch or something like that. Is that also frowned upon or?
Not in Abu Dhabi or Dubai.
Okay.
The Sharjah, like I said, is much more conservative. I mean, I've even traveled to Saudi Arabia, which is even more restrictive for those types of things. But no, Abu Dhabi and Dubai is other than they're walking around in their native, the nationals are walking around in their native outfits, black, the women wear black, but they don't have to have their face fully covered. They just wear the black veils and the black robes. And the men wear the dish dash, which is the long white.
Yes.
It's like a big, it's a shirt, like a dress shirt, but it's four lengths.
Another one.
And, but, other than that, it's like any other big cities. So it's not quite, it's different, but it's not as restrictive as most people think.
I'm very ignorant on a lot of this, so you can hopefully guide me on some of my questions. And they're meant with sincere curiosity rather than some sort of kind of quasi-unpleasantness. So when you see, a woman from the Middle East, to keep the term broad, with only the eyes exposed, the black from head to toe, that to me looks quite intense.
It does, and while you will see that in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, there are different sects of Islam and Muslim beliefs, and a lot of it goes back to what their husbands will allow.
Yeah, because I was sitting in a Shake Shack of all places in London, Covent Garden, about 3 weeks ago on a Saturday afternoon with my teenager, and we were chatting, and beside us were a family, two ladies with only the eyes exposed, with two boys who looked like they might have been my nephews, because there's no issue there. And I was struck by the fact that they had to put their burger in underneath.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff you will see in a stricter Muslim country like Saudi Arabia.
And then
for example,
please go ahead.
No, like I said, it really does depend on what religious branch of Islam they belong to, because like in Saudi Arabia, I don't remember offhand what the predominant religious sect is there.
Yeah.
But like I even have to cover when I've traveled there. I have to put on the black robe. Now, I don't cover my face, but I still have to respect the culture. Now, in Abu Dhabi, I can go out in blue jeans and a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And there's no, they don't even look at me strangely. You know what I mean? So that's the type where you're talking really different. But the women that have everything covered except their eyes, I mean, even if you look down at their feet, I guarantee you that if they were wearing sandals, they had socks on their feet.
Yeah. Well, but the question that that came up at the table, as it were, was, particularly for young generation, looking at these women thinking, how cruel it was that, that a man made a woman do this and wear this. So when you're then, say, in a more conservative Arab country, Melanie, and you're walking along covering everything in the heat, do you feel resentful towards the customs, or do you feel, no, that's what they do and I got to roll with that?
To be perfectly honest, it's a conflict for me, because Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why it's a conflict for me. I am a currently unemployed pilot. Okay? So I was flying, I don't know if you know what 747s are or MD-11s. I was flying into those countries as a captain. Okay? Women can drive in the Emirates. They can't drive in Saudi Arabia. So I would walk through these places as a captain in my uniform, and they would look. That was what the most weirdest thing was. I was the only one. You know what I mean? And I would literally be stared at and walk the length of the terminal. So it is...
Finish the bit you said, and they would look.
They would watch me as I walked the length of the terminal, like literally stop and watch, because it's like, how does she get to fly airplanes in Saudi Arabia? You know, in Abu Dhabi, it's even stranger. Women just don't do those things. I mean, it's Emirates and pirates and females, and Abu Dhabi is Etihad, and Dubai is the Emirates. Now, they all have female pilots now, but, you know, just it's very strange there, and, you know, people, some strict families, the women can't even drive cars.
So tell me about your conflict that you mentioned a minute ago. The conflict is that
I understand the religiousness of it. I understand that, you know, their religion doesn't allow these things. The religious prefer that women keep themselves covered. Yeah. But I just resent the fact that they're not all given the opportunity, nor do they have, or not all are allowed to have the education either.
But that's how they roll, to use the expression.
But that's how they roll. And it's like, you know, the conflict is, I think women should not be restricted and stuff like that, but yet they have, you know, a lot of what they do is based in their religious beliefs.
But they could argue, yeah, if that's their religious belief, they could say, none of your business. If we want if we want our women to eat burgers underneath the black thing, and then they can go into Harrods and pick out all the lingerie they want, which they do, and it's expensive, or jewelry or whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely I do. I do. And you know, I that's the part that is strange. But then again, I've done flights where everybody, all the people get on the airplane in their traditional native garbs, and 3 hours after you leave the airspace, if you went, it would be like a episode of The Twilight Zone. You'd go in the back to, like, use the restroom or something, and everybody sitting in the seats have all changed into Western clothing. You know what I mean? They don't have, not everybody has the black, not all the ladies have the black on. There's certainly some of them, their heads aren't covered. And, you know, some of the men, they've put, you know, traditional, what I would call Western clothing, blue jeans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the same people that get on the airplane are not necessarily the same ones that get off when you arrive in New York City.
Yeah.
It's very different, you know what I mean? So I personally don't think women should be oppressed like that, but, every culture on the face of the earth has had that revolution.
America, the country that you're probably from, has never had a female president, despite the fact that a lot of people in America are female.
Correct.
You know,
that is
correct. And equally, if you take it another step, and go back a bit, when America were talking about going into Iraq, they were saying this could start this democratic revolution, and the spring revolution, if you want to call it that, in Egypt and Libya and so on. And then it seems to have come to pass that these countries don't particularly want democracy, or can't do democracy, or feel that's not how we work here. It might work for you in the West, but it simply doesn't work for us.
Well, you know, Ryan, I'm not political in a lot of ways for a lot of different reasons, but I think it comes down to, you know, we've managed in the West to separate church and state. And in the places that you're talking about, they don't go there. You know, it's not a separation of church and state.
Mm.
And as long as their political system is based on, a religion, which it truly is, it's not going to change.
Well, some would argue that our last break from church and state, which probably hasn't finished yet, arguably happened with the marriage referendum, that it was an enormous nail in the coffin, if you like, of that church-state relationship. So in other words, in Ireland, certainly, we're not in a position, really, are we, to kind of point a finger and say, you've got a very close church-state relationship, particularly Ireland.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it has to do with the population of the countries that we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Women, women in there are more women on the face of the earth than there are men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So women have to make that decision. The difference would be that Western cultures have a different level of respect for human life.
Than,
in my experience, than parts of the Middle East.
For human life in terms of living and death or quality of life?
Both. Okay. I just don't think, you know, you and I would have a conversation and you would respect me for who I am and my intellect, and I would do the same for you. You know, you're talking about cultures where, you know, women, for example, I was detained in immigration because I have a passport. I arrived there on my own, flying an airplane by myself, you know, with a crew. And they detained me and let my crew go because they were men and I was a woman, and they wanted to know where my husband was and did he know I was flying an airplane.
And when was that? How many years are we talking?
We're talking 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, this.
When you're standing there being questioned about, like, in that way, are you fuming or are you very open-minded saying, okay, fellas, you got to understand?
Well, actually, you know what? I take a totally different slant than that. I'm not mad. I'm not anything. More than anything, I know I'm a burr under their saddle. Okay? And it's them that get angry. It's them that get mad because they're just looking at me going, wait a minute. You know, she's flying airplanes and she's a captain on the airplane and I'm not. You know? So they're just irritated with me for that fact. You know
so
what I mean?
So you're the stone in their shoe.
Absolutely. I am. And I've had several of the ladies walk up to me and ask me, "Can we hug you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't care if you do, but I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to create a problem here either." You know what I mean?
Are you living in Ireland now, Melanie?
I am. I live in the West. I live in the village. Well, near Cratlow, which is just between Limerick and Shannon. There, I've been here for nearly 10 years. I married an Irishman, so this is where I am.
Are you still flying?
No, actually, the company I worked for went out of business. So
okay.
I'm looking for a job, but
are
I haven't
you?
Seen one yet. Yeah.
As in a pilot, still?
I am, as in a pilot.
And you a woman?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, imagine.
I enjoyed our chat today, Melanie. Thank you so much for that. Really enlightening.
Okay, yep.
Look
All right,
after
you
yourself.
Have a good day.
Yeah,
appreciate
same to you.
Bye.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.